Вариант 30.
Сейчас вы будете выполнять задание по аудированию. Каждый текст прозвучит два раза. После первого и второго прослушивания у вас будет время для выполнения и проверки заданий. Все паузы включены в аудиозапись. Остановка и повторное воспроизведение аудиозаписи не предусмотрены. По окончании выполнения всего раздела «Аудирование» перенесите свои ответы в бланк ответов номер один. Задание 1. Вы услышите 6 высказываний. Установите соответствие между высказываниями каждого говорящего «AF» и утверждениями, данными в списке 1-7. Используйте каждое утверждение, обозначенное соответствующей цифрой, только один раз. В задании есть одно лишнее утверждение. Вы услышите запись дважды. Занесите свои ответы в таблицу. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданием.
Now we are ready to start. Speaker A.
Too frequently, we think we have to do spectacular things. Yet, if we remember that the sea is actually made up of drops of water and each drop counts, each one of us can do our little bit where we are. Those little bits can come together and almost overwhelm the world. Each of us can make a contribution. Every day, everyone can make the world a better place. It's simple, it's quick, and it is free. All it requires is to change the day of everyone you come into contact with in a positive way.
Speaker B.
We've been very arrogant in assuming that there's a sharp line dividing us from the rest of the animal kingdom. We're not the only beings on this planet with personalities, minds, and above all, emotions. We need to be more respectful. The most important thing we can do is to try to get out of the mess we've made on this planet is to spend time thinking about the consequences of the choices we make. What do we eat? How was it growing? Could we make it in a way that is less damaging to the environment? If we start thinking like that, inevitably people will make changes.
Speaker C.
You should know about the good things that happened before. Learn from the past what matters in the present. Fill your brain with as much information as you can. Look at everything, know everything, and develop a critical mind. History, theory, and criticism are the three fundamental elements to grow in a professional life. History will provide you with the tools for understanding, theory will be the philosophy of why you're doing it, and criticism will provide you with the ability to continually master what you are doing. Play with these tools, and you can do pretty good things.
Speaker D.
Wounds that can't be seen are more painful than those that can be seen and cured by a doctor. I learned that courage was not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. I felt fear myself more times than I can remember, but I hid it behind a mask of boldness. The brave man is not he who does not feel afraid, but he who conquers fear. Where people of goodwill get together and transcend their differences for the common good, peaceful and just solutions can be found, even for those problems that seem most intractable.
Speaker E.
The advice I'd like to give to young artists is not to wait around for inspiration. If you wait around for the clouds to part and a bolt of lightning to strike you in the brain, you are not going to make an awful lot of work. All the best ideas come out of the process. They come out of the work itself. If you're sitting around trying to dream up a great art idea, you can sit there for a long time before anything happens. Any day when you just do a little something, all those little pieces of something add up and you keep moving forward.
Speaker F.
Whenever I had opportunities to study, I used them and then accepted the results as they came out. When it looked like I couldn't get my way into a space program, I felt it was important to improve my professional knowledge. We need a deep thinker, a person who can think ahead and be creative, a person who can look beyond the immediate problem. If we keep looking at only where our feet are going, we may walk off a cliff. We may miss a great opportunity, but if we can look up and look ahead, there's a greater chance that we'll live more productive lives.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you will hear the texts again. Speaker A.
Too frequently, we think we have to do spectacular things. Yet, if we remember that the sea is actually made up of drops of water and each drop counts, each one of us can do our little bit where we are. Those little bits can come together and almost overwhelm the world. Each of us can make a contribution. Every day, everyone can make the world a better place. It's simple, it's quick, and it is free. All it requires is to change the day of everyone you come into contact with in a positive way.
Speaker B.
We've been very arrogant in assuming that there's a sharp line dividing us from the rest of the animal kingdom. We're not the only beings on this planet with personalities, minds, and above all, emotions. We need to be more respectful. The most important thing we can do is to try to get out of the mess we've made on this planet is to spend time thinking about the consequences of the choices we make. What do we eat? How was it growing? Could we make it in a way that is less damaging to the environment? If we start thinking like that, inevitably people will make changes.
Speaker C.
You should know about the good things that happened before. Learn from the past what matters in the present. Fill your brain with as much information as you can. Look at everything, know everything, and develop a critical mind. History, theory, and criticism are the three fundamental elements to grow in a professional life. History will provide you with the tools for understanding, theory will be the philosophy of why you're doing it, and criticism will provide you with the ability to continually master what you are doing. Play with these tools, and you can do pretty good things.
Speaker D.
Wounds that can't be seen are more painful than those that can be seen and cured by a doctor. I learned that courage was not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. I felt fear myself more times than I can remember, but I hid it behind a mask of boldness. The brave man is not he who does not feel afraid, but he who conquers fear. Where people of goodwill get together and transcend their differences for the common good, peaceful and just solutions can be found, even for those problems that seem most intractable.
Speaker E.
The advice I'd like to give to young artists is not to wait around for inspiration. If you wait around for the clouds to part and a bolt of lightning to strike you in the brain, you are not going to make an awful lot of work. All the best ideas come out of the process. They come out of the work itself. If you're sitting around trying to dream up a great art idea, you can sit there for a long time before anything happens. Any day when you just do a little something, all those little pieces of something add up and you keep moving forward.
Speaker F.
Whenever I had opportunities to study, I used them and then accepted the results as they came out. When it looked like I couldn't get my way into a space program, I felt it was important to improve my professional knowledge. We need a deep thinker, a person who can think ahead and be creative, a person who can look beyond the immediate problem. If we keep looking at only where our feet are going, we may walk off a cliff. We may miss a great opportunity, but if we can look up and look ahead, there's a greater chance that we'll live more productive lives.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers.
Задание 2. Вы услышите диалог. Определите, какие из приведенных утверждений A, G соответствуют содержанию текста. 1. True. Какие не соответствуют? 2. False. И о чем в тексте не сказано? То есть на основании текста нельзя дать ни положительного, ни отрицательного ответа. 3. Not stated. Занесите номер выбранного вами варианта ответа в таблицу. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданиями.
Now we are ready to start.
Hey, Alex, I've got an idea. I can show you my favorite place in London.
Sure, I'd like to see that. But where is it exactly?
Well, can you see all those people across the street?
Yes, they're all waiting for something. It seems a bit odd to me. Are we going to see an exciting spectacle today?
Not today. Look beyond the people. What do you see?
Well, there's a beautiful building over there. It looks like a palace. What is it?
It's Buckingham Palace. And all those people are waiting for the changing of the guard, which takes place in the forecourt. It's 11 o'clock, so the ceremony will start soon.
Does this ceremony take place every day?
It's held daily, only from April to August, when there are lots of tourists. But we aren't going to watch it right now. We're going to the park, which is opposite the palace.
Hey! There's a lake over there. It looks very pleasant in the middle of a big city. Let's go and take a closer look. I never knew there was a lake in the middle of London.
Actually, there are several of them in central London. There are two lakes in the northern part of the Regent's Park and one in the western park in Hyde Park. There's also a lake in St. James Park and one in Buckingham Palace Gardens, which is actually not open to the public.
Let me guess. We must be in St. James's Park now.
Good guess. You're right. It's St. James Park, which is a popular place to stroll, feed the ducks, or watch the pelicans.
Those people on the lawn seem to be having a picnic. Is it possible to have picnics in London parks?
Sure, but you should follow certain rules. If you're tired, we can have a rest on deck chairs over there.
Okay. What is this magnificent style building opposite the lake?
This is St. James Palace, with its Tudor style. And behind it, there is an entertainment area, a Piccadilly Circus, with lots of pubs and cafes. If you like, we can go there later in the evening. It's extremely beautiful.
That's a wonderful idea. But honestly, I wouldn't mind having a bite right now.
Then let's go to the cafe and have a snack.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now, you will hear the text again.
Hey, Alex, I've got an idea. I can show you my favourite place in London.
Sure, I'd like to see that. But where is it exactly?
Well, can you see all those people across the street?
Yes, they're all waiting for something. It seems a bit odd to me. Are we going to see an exciting spectacle today?
Not today. Look beyond the people. What do you see?
Well, there's a beautiful building over there. It looks like a palace. What is it?
It's Buckingham Palace. And all those people are waiting for the changing of the guard, which takes place in the forecourt. It's 11 o'clock, so the ceremony will start soon.
Does this ceremony take place every day?
It's held daily, only from April to August, when there are lots of tourists. But we aren't going to watch it right now. We're going to the park, which is opposite the palace.
Hey! There's a lake over there. It looks very pleasant in the middle of a big city. Let's go and take a closer look. I never knew there was a lake in the middle of London.
Actually, there are several of them in central London. There are two lakes in the northern part of the Regent's Park and one in the western park in Hyde Park. There's also a lake in St. James Park and one in Buckingham Palace Gardens, which is actually not open to the public.
Let me guess. We must be in St. James's Park now.
Good guess. You're right, it's St. James Park, which is a popular place to stroll, feed the ducks, or watch the pelicans.
Those people on the lawn seem to be having a picnic. Is it possible to have picnics in London parks?
Sure, but you should follow certain rules. If you're tired, we can have a rest on deck chairs over there.
Okay, what is this magnificent style building opposite the lake?
This is St. James Palace, with its Tudor style. And behind it, there is an entertainment area, a Piccadilly Circus, with lots of pubs and cafes. If you like, we can go there later in the evening. It's extremely beautiful.
That's a wonderful idea, but honestly, I wouldn't mind having a bite right now.
Then let's go to the cafe and have a snack.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers.
Задание 3.9. Вы услышите рассказ молодого человека о его работе в компании Nokia. В заданиях 3.9 запишите в поле ответа цифру 1, 2 или 3, соответствующую выбранному вами варианту ответа. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 50 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданиями.
Now we are ready to start.
My first job out of university was designing software for an economics project, but I realised that I didn't know what I was doing. So I took a master's in user interface design. In 2000, a job in the usability group at Nokia came up. At that time, I didn't even own a mobile phone. The task was to carry out user experience research. So we pitched a year-long international study on what objects people carry with them and why. It turned out that the common denominator between cultures, regardless of age, gender or context, is keys, money, and if you own one, a mobile phone. Why those three objects? Without wanting to sound hyperbolic, essentially, it boils down to survival. Keys provide access to warmth and shelter. Money is a very versatile tool that can buy food, transport, and so on. A mobile phone is actually a great tool for recovering from emergency situations, especially if the first two fail. We've also started to see the mobile phone being used as a primary form of projecting your identity. For instance, if you live in a community with no street signs, because your street is off a map or not officially recognised, you find people are writing their phone numbers above their door. In the past few years, we've done a lot of work with people in so-called emerging markets. A mobile phone is just as valid for a farmer on the outskirts of New Delhi as a banker in New York. What we've discovered is that for people on the lowest rungs of society, the mobile phone actually has a disproportionately great benefit to them compared with the banker in New York, because they have fewer alternatives. We do research in such communities because they are incredibly innovative in the way that they use their mobile phones. In some countries, people are incredibly price conscious and measure costs in seconds and cents. In Ghana, for example, we saw that people tend to buy two or more SIM cards, one for each network provider. In a country like Uganda, most mobile phones are prepay. What really surprised us was the way people are using their phones as a kind of money transfer system, They would buy prepaid credit in the city, ring up a phone kiosk operator in a village and ask the credit to be passed on to someone in the village, say their sister, in cash. The tough part of my job is using the data we collect to inform and inspire how my colleagues think, and in turning this research into new ideas. For instance, we did a study on phone sharing in Uganda and Indonesia, and within a year, we had two products out. They support multiple address books, allowing people to share a device within a family or a company while giving them a degree of privacy. We have also carried out a lot of research into how people who can't read communicate using mobile phones. We fed that back to the device designers so the phones could be designed to work better. But we didn't want to create a phone specifically for those who can't read. They're not going to buy this kind of phone because of the social stigma it would carry. My blog, Future Perfect, includes a lot of my musings about what I see on my travels. The motivation behind the blog is that I do something that totally fascinates me, and I'm lucky to be well-resourced and to work with very talented people. I want to be able to communicate some of that. It's not about saying what the answers are, it's about asking the questions, and maybe some of those will stick in people's minds, and they'll ask those questions in their own contexts.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now, you will hear the text again.
My first job out of university was designing software for an economics project, but I realised that I didn't know what I was doing, so I took a master's in user interface design. In 2000, a job in the usability group at Nokia came up. At that time, I didn't even own a mobile phone. The task was to carry out user experience research, so we pitched a year-long international study on what objects people carry with them and why. It turned out that the common denominator between cultures, regardless of age, gender or context, is keys, money, and if you own one, a mobile phone. Why those three objects? Without wanting to sound hyperbolic, essentially, it boils down to survival. Keys provide access to warmth and shelter. Money is a very versatile tool that can buy food, transport, and so on. A mobile phone is actually a great tool for recovering from emergency situations, especially if the first two fail. We've also started to see the mobile phone being used as a primary form of projecting your identity. For instance, if you live in a community with no street signs, because your street is off a map or not officially recognised, you find people are writing their phone numbers above their door. In the past few years, we've done a lot of work with people in so-called emerging markets. A mobile phone is just as valid for a farmer on the outskirts of New Delhi as a banker in New York. What we've discovered is that for people on the lowest rungs of society, the mobile phone actually has a disproportionately great benefit to them compared with the banker in New York, because they have fewer alternatives. We do research in such communities because they are incredibly innovative in the way that they use their mobile phones. In some countries, people are incredibly price conscious and measure costs in seconds and cents. In Ghana, for example, we saw that people tend to buy two or more SIM cards, one for each network provider. In a country like Uganda, most mobile phones are prepay. What really surprised us was the way people are using their phones as a kind of money transfer system. They would buy prepaid credit in the city, ring up a phone kiosk operator in a village and ask the credit to be passed on to someone in the village, say their sister, in cash. The tough part of my job is using the data we collect to inform and inspire how my colleagues think, and in turning this research into new ideas. For instance, we did a study on phone sharing in Uganda and Indonesia, and within a year, we had two products out. They support multiple address books, allowing people to share a device within a family or a company while giving them a degree of privacy. We have also carried out a lot of research into how people who can't read communicate using mobile phones. We fed that back to the device designers, so the phones could be designed to work better. But we didn't want to create a phone specifically for those who can't read. They're not going to buy this kind of phone because of the social stigma it would carry. My blog, Future Perfect, includes a lot of my musings about what I see on my travels. The motivation behind the blog is that I do something that totally fascinates me, and I'm lucky to be well-resourced and to work with very talented people. I want to be able to communicate some of that. It's not about saying what the answers are, it's about asking the questions, and maybe some of those will stick in people's minds, and they'll ask those questions in their own contexts.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers. This is the end of the listening test.
Время, отведенное на выполнение заданий, истекло.